This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and well, it is good to be back for another episode of the podcast. We got a lot to talk about today. I always say I'm going to keep these short. I'm going to keep it shorter today because I got something to do, or there's not so much I want to talk about. But today, while I want to keep it short, I guess there is a lot to talk about. Before we get started with the podcast, thank you guys for listening. I thank you guys for all the support. I appreciate you guys that hit me up on Twitter, that hit me up via the DMs. It's cool to know that you guys are appreciating the show. It's still small, you know, it's still growing. You know, I get a couple hundred listeners here and there. The great thing is it's in the hundreds. So, you know, I never expected it to be like that. You know, we're definitely, you know, up there in 500, 600 mark. And it's great to hear, you know, see that, you know, it's getting some traction that way. The comments that you guys are leaving me, that's good. And, you know, happy about that. We're just happy about everything because, you know, we put a lot into the designs of some of the stuff that you guys can see on my on the Instagram page. The designs that sometimes you see me share on the Twitter, on Facebook. You know, there's a lot of things going on. And then I got my good friend Trombach, who's helping us out, writing some articles for the website. So, you know, there's a lot of things and we want to continue growing. So I have, you know, like I said, I always said I have the idea of definitely bringing on other people that are interested of being on the podcast, And then also I want to, you know, essentially get, you know, my goal is to redesign, you know, the studio that I have here and, you know, maybe put some chairs in and have some invite, you know, some guests or whatever, but that'll come with time. You know, right now we're on the 48th episode. So things go, you know, things grow slowly and we're going to continue to grow this thing. And I really want to continue to grow it, you know, and get further and further down the line. And, you know, my goal is to start also, you know, hopefully in the next year, go to some games, you know, take a flight over to Spain, go to some games, check out, see what trouble I can get myself into in that regard, where I can position myself to get close to some of the guys from Real Madrid if I can. And that's the ultimate goal, you know, to little by little go and grow this podcast and bring you guys more content. And, you know, that's something that I definitely want to do in the future. So with that said, guys, follow me at Y Nada Más Podcast on Twitter. That's where I am most active, although I haven't been active as of late because my day job has been, you know, obviously getting in the way of sometimes of me being on top of things as much as I'd like. But I still always try to catch every single game, try to catch every single event. And aside from that, guys, you can also see us on Facebook, which is Y Nada Más Podcast, at Y Nada Más Podcast on Facebook. And on Instagram, it's at YNM Podcast on Instagram. We're sharing a lot of cool graphics and stuff like that on Instagram. So please, if you guys, I know some of you guys might not be, you know, especially on Twitter. It seems like Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, you know, you guys are totally different entities. You know, people that are on Twitter don't want to go on Instagram. People that don't want to Instagram don't fuck with Twitter. You know, it's just the way it is, you know. So either way. What I do want to say is, you know, follow me on Twitter. That's where I'm talking to most of you guys and following the FT and the TL and, you know, making sure, you know, my AV is on lock. You know, I don't know. There's so much chatter going on Twitter sometimes that, you know, I wouldn't be on Twitter if it wasn't for Real Madrid, to be honest with you. I'm not somebody who jumps on that thing and is really interested in what other people have to say outside of things that have to do with football, because that place is just a rotting cesspool of people throwing ideas out that really nobody cares about. And then even in football, even on the football Twitter, I mean, I think there's just a lot of people just trolling. There's a lot of trolling. It's not even banter. It's just bad takes, like really bad takes. Not even, because there's a difference between an opinion and a bad take. Sometimes I feel like it's people just purposely try to rub each other the wrong way and say things that are just completely off the wall nuts. It's not even banter. It's just being toxic. I guess being an asshole, really. Toxic is not even a word. Toxic is a new word to describe being a dick or an asshole. So anyway, guys, that is where you can catch me on all of the, sorry. I'm coming down with like a sore throat or something. That's where you can catch me on social media. You can also find our website at inadamas.net. That is where our website, you can find the articles that my good friend Trombach is writing all the way out there in Calcutta. Cause you guys from India, you fans from India are wild, man. You guys really, really, really are into football, really into sports. And it's awesome, man. I mean, you guys are so passionate, really. And, so besides that, so got those articles there from Trombach, got a couple things coming out. Hopefully we can get those posted. He's got a couple articles from the Sevilla game up, ready to post up. So that's some of the stuff that's going to be on there. So check that out as well. In addition to that, if you guys are listening, remember, if you are listening to the podcast, you can also catch the video version of the podcast on YouTube. Just look it up at Y Nada Más Podcast on YouTube. And, you know, the one thing I wanted to say, guys, is if you are listening to us here, whether it is Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you're listening to us, if you watch things on YouTube and you have a YouTube account, man, please help us out. Grow the subscribers on YouTube. Just go over to YouTube, hit the subscribe button, help us, because really the idea that I'm trying to get to with the subscribers is definitely, you know, once we get a certain amount of subscribers, we can start, we can have the vanity URL, which basically we can make it Inadamas Podcast instead of some random number. And, all the other perks that come with it being, you know, having a few more followers, so we can start, making things a little bit more customized on the page of, on the channel, of course. So if you guys want to catch the video version of the podcast, please go on over to YouTube, look up Inadamas Podcast, and you will find the episodes there. If you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, I always say, guys, please, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please go into the app, give us a rating, give us a comment, because that helps us rise up in the ranks and it helps us continue to grow within the algorithm of Apple Podcasts, obviously, which is really one of the biggest libraries there are out there of podcasts. I think we just put the podcast on Amazon as well. Amazon Music, I think it's called. So if you guys have that, I think most people, I don't know if they have it, you know, as much overseas. A lot of people here in the States have Amazon Music and stuff like that. So you can find us there as well. So that's a new outlet that we're going to have for the podcast. So hopefully we get more listeners that way. Anyway, guys, what is there to talk about today? There's a lot of stuff to talk about. I actually recorded a little bit of the podcast, you know, right after the Sevilla game. And then I was ready to release it. And then, I got caught up in things, had to go to work today. Actually ended up catching the Balón de Oro ceremony, or Balón de Oro ceremony, or whatever however you pronounce it. The Balón de Oro ceremony, or the Golden Ball, as somebody would call it. So I caught it today. And I was so, I was so angered by it, not angered by it, but just kind of annoyed by the whole situation. It really is a popularity contest. It really is. I definitely don't think Messi deserved it. I'm a Real Madrid fan, so I can, you know, people are going to say, oh, well, he's a Madridista and all this stuff. I had a friend that's from a Barcelona fan talking that to me after I, you know, vented on Twitter. You know, I'm not somebody that hates Messi. I don't hate Messi. And as far as I'm concerned, he's a non-issue now, at least for the team, for me as a Madridista, because at this point he's at PSG. He's no longer at Barcelona. And there's this whole thing with, you know, you have the quote unquote, the Messi FC versus Ronaldo FC. So it's basically like, oh, you know, Madridistas don't want Messi to win because they want Ronaldo to catch up in Balón de Oro or whatever. But honestly, I have nothing, you know, that is not my issue with it. That is not my issue with the situation with the Ballon d'Or of Messi getting his seventh Ballon d'Or. Historic, sure, but was it deserved? Absolutely not, in my opinion. And I think there was a lot of unfairness and a lot of just really, for me, it was just, if you look at, you know, here's all you need to know on my opinion on it and what makes it fishy from the get-go. Just the fact that France football has to invent an entirely new award called the Striker of the Year Award. Just coming up with a Striker of the Year Award automatically lets everybody know. Everybody knew it. The minute we heard that, the news today, this morning, I think, was when they announced it or whatever. I don't know if I didn't hear it before, so this had to be a new thing. The minute they announced that there was a new award for best striker, all of a sudden, I mean, everybody knew. Everybody on Twitter, on football Twitter, knew immediately that Lewandowski was going to win that Striker of the Year award and Messi was going to win the Ballon d'Or. The thing that's idiotic to me about that situation is the Ballon d'Or happens to always favor forwards or attacking midfielders. Not even really attacking midfielders, more so forwards. And in this case, you know, Messi, you could say, is he playing on the right wing? Is he an attacking midfielder? I mean, he played as a false nine, so really he's a striker. You know, so essentially it's always favoring forwards. It's favoring people that score goals. It doesn't favor defenders, rarely ever. You know, we had one of them spoke, one of the few defenders that ever won the Ballon d'Or spoke today, which was Fabio Cannavaro, you know, and so, you know, he's one of the very few defenders that has ever won the thing. No goalkeeper, as far as we're concerned, has ever won the thing, as far as I remember. That's why they have the Yashin Trophy. So it always does favor people who score goals. Now, obviously, there was a blip in that situation when Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi were scoring goals. Then you go into somebody like Luka Modric winning, who isn't a goal scorer, but, you know, through his leadership, led his team to the finals in the World Cup. And to me, there was a merit in Luka Modric. You know, that's my bias talking because I'm a big fan of Luka Modric. But the fact that he and his team, especially the Croatian national team, they're not a team that is ever, you know, expected to go very far. For them to go all the way to the finals, to go all the way to the finals of the World Cup, and just grind all the way to the end, with the likes of Luka Modric, with the likes of guys like, you know, Ivan Rakitic, and that whole team as a core. But that whole team is really, the whole team is really built around essentially at that point. And in that point in time, Modric was one of, if not the best players that Croatia has at that moment, and I think still currently is the best Croatian player they have. The ability to go all the way with them. And then aside from that, what he did with the Champions League, of course, and the dominance that they had in the Champions League. So you have, and him being a huge part of that in the midfield. Of course, you know, there was a reason for him to win it. Now, obviously, there was a lot of controversy of that, because did Cristiano Ronaldo deserve it? You know, yes, we could say he definitely deserved it as well. And then it always goes to, what is the criteria for this thing? We never know what the criteria for this thing is. Is it the trophies you win as a team? Is it the individual statistics? Is it, you know, there's no like, you know, a set criteria that we can look at is like, what is it that they're looking at? You know, because if it's not goals, or if it is goals, is it goals combined with international trophies, or, you know, which trophies carry more weight? Or is it like, and this is the funny thing, is it's one of Barcelona's own men, you know, one of their own idols and their own legends, Jordi Cruyff, who said, Johan Cruyff, Jordi Cruyff is his son, Johan Cruyff, who basically says that, you know, I guess the Ballon d'Or, something along those lines, I don't have it in front of me, but the quote was along the lines of, the Ballon d'Or is essentially where a bunch of journalists basically pick their friends, you know? So it is, in the end, a popularity contest. And so what bothered me about this one today is, really, I think we are moving away, at this point, we're moving away from the Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi era. Lionel Messi has been a non... He did nothing with Barcelona last season. Aside from scoring goals and making the assists, which are important, yes. But the team didn't do anything except for winning Copa del Rey, which is... Copa del Rey is like the... What is it? The second most important trophy, at least in Spain. And most teams don't really take it that seriously. Teams take it seriously when they win, and then they kind of like toss it to the side when they lose. That's the narrative that has been going on with La Copa del Rey for a long time now. You know, the two teams that essentially dominate Spanish football, or dominated Spanish football for the last 10 or so years, Real Madrid and Barcelona, had really their sights set on two major trophies. Obviously, you want to win the treble, which Barcelona has, Real Madrid has not. But you do want to set your sights on two major trophies, which are, of course, winning La Liga and winning the Champions League. Real Madrid established its dominance with the Champions League. They have established its dominance with La Liga, having won over the years more La Liga trophies, even though they haven't done so. They haven't won as many as Barcelona in the past 10 years. But in the end, those are the trophies that were really important. So Messi doesn't win La Liga. He doesn't win the Champions League. And it's been a long time now that they haven't won the Champions League. There's the goals here. What he had, 56 games. These are the 2021 stats. 56 games, 41 goals, 17 assists. He won the Copa del Rey and the Copa America, right? Robert Lewandowski scores 64 goals. He played in 54 games. He gets 9 assists, and he gets the Bundesliga. He wins the Bundesliga and the DFL Super Cup. So, essentially, here's like what carries more weight. But what bothers me the most is, Lewandowski was absolutely phenomenal in 2020. Everybody, hands down, even Leo Messi said it today, hands down, was the front runner for the Ballon d'Or in 2020. The pandemic hits. It gets canceled. But football itself, the Ballon d'Or ceremony was canceled. But football itself did not end, because if not, then Lewandowski wouldn't have had the season that he had. So what strikes me is you do two things, guys. You either, for me, what bothers me the most out of this thing is the injustice that was served to Lewandowski. Listen, I am a Madridista, and I'm sorry, Madridistas, if you guys are going to get mad at this, but I definitely don't think that Karim Benzema deserved the Ballon d'Or this season. This 2021 Ballon d'Or, not with the likes of this, not with the stats that Lionel Messi and Robert Lewandowski had. I mean, essentially, yeah. Okay. So you could say that he had 43 goals this season. He played 58 games, 13 assists, but he won the UEFA Nations League. Those are some of the things. I mean, I could say you can put him in there as well, but, really, the thing is, far and above, Robert Lewandowski was the one that everybody knew, really, really deserved it. And especially because of what he did the last year and not having received the Ballon d'Or. So I don't think, for me, I don't think Karim Benzema was ever going to win it. I do think it was a travesty for him not to be in the top three of that thing. Because if we are rewarding forwards, and it's mostly about scoring goals, then, you know, the conversation of having N'Golo Kanté and Jorginho in the lineup, regardless of what they were able to win with their clubs or their country, in the case of Jorginho with Chelsea and Italy, or N'Golo Kanté with Chelsea, were they really in the running? Because they're not goal scorers, and it's always favored to goal scorers. And this is the thing. The thing that bothers me as well is you invent this Striker of the Year award to basically placate, I guess, the fact that Lewandowski didn't win last year because you guys canceled the Ballon d'Or. So you make up this Striker of the Year award. And we all knew, essentially, that you were going to basically hand the Ballon d'Or to Lionel Messi. It shouldn't have been that way, because that to me is a bullshit way of basically glossing over the fact that you were going to give the Ballon d'Or to one guy and take it away from another guy who has deserved it for, I think, the past 2 years. Because if we are looking at stats between, if you are looking at this year and if you are looking at 2020 and 2021, right? What they should have done is done this. If you weren't going to have a Ballon d'Or in 20, here's one of my suggestions. If you weren't going to have a Ballon d'Or in 2020 and that was canceled, what should happen is you either combine the statistics of 2020 and 2021 to see who was the all-time guy who stayed the most consistent, and in that case, it's hands down Robert Lewandowski, or you do a ceremony where you essentially say, listen, guys, we didn't give out 2020. We didn't give out the Ballon d'Or in 2020, so we're going to give out one Ballon d'Or for the Ballon d'Or in 2020, and the other one is going to be the one from 2021. And I would totally have accepted that they give the 2021 one to Messi if they wanted to, and the other one to Lewandowski, the 2020 Ballon d'Or to Lewandowski if they wanted to. So to Messi in 2021, Lewandowski in 2020. But you take away Lewandowski's, and then you give him this BS, horrible-looking Striker of the Year award. That's a garbage award. And the reason it's a garbage award is because, number one, I want to see if France Football is going to give out that award next year, the Striker of the Year award, you know? Or are they just going to cancel it together and this is a one-off to just basically, shut the people that wanted Lewandowski to get the Ballon d'Or up because he's deserved it over the past two seasons. If you were going to combine 2020 and 2021, which were the two seasons where the pandemic has affected football, the guy with the better stats is hands down Lewandowski, if you were to combine the two, right? So he deserved it. He had deserved to be acknowledged for that. To say he was just the Striker of the Year is BS, because if we didn't have a Striker of the Year award before, to make one up simply in this season make up or save face for the fact that you're not going to give the Ballon d'Or to him this year is, I think, a slap in the face to the poor guy. Because this guy essentially knows, and everybody knows, that he should have won it in 2020. He should have won it in 2020. And you can't tell me, because it was the pandemic. The pandemic cut everything short. No. Listen, guys, we played a Euro 2020 in 2021, and they still had everything labeled as Euro 2020. We had a 2020 Tokyo Olympics in 2021 with everything still labeled as Tokyo 2020. So everything was just moved a year. So essentially, if you can have a Ballon d'Or, if you can have a Ballon d'Or in 2021, and you can have football didn't stop, regardless of the pandemic. It stopped for a few months, but it still came back, not in all countries, but in most countries, in the ones that mattered in this case for this award, in the ones that mattered, the Ballon d'Or did exist. Football did continue. And how are you not going to award the guy who continued to do his job during that time? You know, and then what you do is just gloss over it with some shitty made up award. If you're going to do Striker of the Year award, then next year we should be able to see Midfielder of the Year award and Defender of the Year award, and then obviously we have Goalkeeper of the Year award, and then you have four different awards, you know, because essentially if you're going to do that, then that makes more sense, because then at least you can say he's the best midfielder in the world, he's the best striker in the world, and then maybe overall you can have a best player in the world. And that would be the person that wins the Ballon d'Or. I think it would be a little bit more fair, considering that we know we never see anybody other than forwards win it. But now you come up with some lame brain excuse for a Striker of the Year award to give it to the guy who really deserved, to me at least, the Ballon d'Or. Because Messi has not done anything this season. I mean, besides what he did with Barcelona and Argentina in the Copa America, which I'll talk to you about the Copa America in a second, but he did nothing in La Liga other than win a Copa del Rey. He did nothing with Barcelona. Barcelona is a shell of its former self. And yes, he led them to what? To get third place? That's essentially it. And to not get any position, not win anything in the Champions League. Then what is the achievement there? What is the achievement there with club? You can't tell me that it's only going to be the Copa del Rey. And then you can't tell me also that it's going to be only Copa America, because I think that also is unfair to look at those types of things. Because if you have a player who Lewandowski is from Poland. He's essentially plays on a team that has never, ever had a chance to win a World Cup. Has never gone the distance, has sometimes rarely qualified against a guy who is from a perennial favorite country that is Argentina. So to look at that type of thing, you know, that type of statistics in an international trophy and try to compare it side by side, to me is ridiculous. There has to be some sort of criteria that's other than those trophies. What is the criteria? You know, what is it going to be? Is it going to be goals? Because if it's goals, then it's always going to favor strikers. Is it going to be assists? Because then if it's assists, it's not going to favor strikers. It's going to favor players like Messi or attacking midfielders that set things up for their other players, right? And then you have these other stats from like Messi FC, which makes just bothers the hell out of me. And the same thing with Cristiano Ronaldo. They make up, you know, the two fan bases make up stats in order to show that one is better than the other in certain aspects of the game. But they're stats that are like, to me, they're idiotic. Like, oh, he scored the fastest goal in history, or he scored the fastest to get to 10 goals. To get to 100 goals, the fastest to get to 100 goals in Champions League, the fastest to get to 50 goals in La Liga, the fastest, you know, there's never been somebody who got as many assists or as many hat tricks as this guy. But I don't know. I feel like those stats are just, they're like good trivia questions, but they don't tell me anything about, you know, because you could say, you know, like for me, like this whole, you know, one of the stats here that some people were throwing up for Messi was the fact that, you know, he had 2,572 passes compared to Robert Lewandowski's 715. But that's because he plays on a team whose system is tiki-taka and they've always played a passing game. And essentially he drops back and plays a lot of times as an attacking midfielder and he sets up other players. That's what Messi is doing. So his job is to pass. So, and to have 2,572 passes, what does that stat tell me? You know, because apparently those 2,572 passes didn't win him the Champions League, only got him up to third place in La Liga, and only got him the Copa del Rey, right? And the Copa America. So what is that stat? Why does that matter? Why does it matter to have 225 completed dribbles? You know, do we also look at who they're playing against to make it, you know, because I'm sorry, you know, because if you look at Copa America, Messi scored against the likes of, he got two goals for the four goals he scored in the Copa America. He scored against Bolivia, which is right now in last place. In CONMEBOL, in the South American qualifiers, he scored two goals against Bolivia. One that was a penalty, because that's another thing. Now you have to say that how many goals has he scored? How many goals has a player scored that aren't penalties? Because ever since Cristiano Ronaldo was, you know, scores penalties, now penalties don't count the same as a goal from the run of play. It's the most idiotic thing that has happened lately because of these two guys. And I love both of them. But, you know, I hope in a lot of ways that this era now is coming to an end. And I hope today we would see something different, you know, from, you know, and see Lewandowski win, because it would put an end finally to this shit of like this back and forth of who's better, Ronaldo or Messi, Messi or Ronaldo. Like, let that era go to stop. You know, I grew up in that era. I grew up before that. I was before that era. But I saw that era take place. And it's over. It's done. Messi's not the same guy right now in this, and he's not going to win. I don't think, you know, right now, even at PSG, he's not the guy. He's not the guy who's scoring the goals. Sure, he got three assists the other day. He scored one goal against Nantes. But, and then it was three assists against Saint-Étienne. But right now, he hasn't had the best season so far in Ligue 1. And Ligue 1 is what? It's a more physical league. They don't count. They don't whistle for fouls as easily. It's a lot crazier than what he's used to in Barcelona. So it's remains to be seen. If he can start pulling it off in PSG, maybe. But we're going to see what happens because, you know, A lot of people think that this guy is going to continue to dominate. Anyway, Messi scored 2 goals against Bolivia. And let's see, where are the other goals that he scored? In the knockout stage, he scored against, I think he scored against Ecuador. He scored against Ecuador. And then he scored against, what was the last one he scored? So he got 4 goals. He scored against Ecuador. He scored again. Oh, and he scored against Chile. That was the, so he scored against Chile in a 1-1 draw. And he scored against Bolivia. He scored 2 goals against Bolivia. Then he scored a goal against Ecuador. And that's it. Those are the 4 goals he scored. And you know who else? You know, for the other thing is the top scorer. He was a top scorer in La Copa America. Luis Diaz from Colombia also scored 4 goals. So essentially he was tied for top scorer. He wasn't the top scorer in there. And let me tell you something about this Copa America. I'm from Colombia. My family's from Colombia. This Copa America was absolute shit from the get-go. I'm sorry, but it was going on at the same time as the Euro, and the Euro was by far the more exciting tournament, where the football was playing much better, was being played much better. And why? Because there was nothing to lose in this Copa America. In the first round, because of COVID, so initially this Copa America was going to take place in Argentina and take place in Colombia. Colombia had a bunch of, as somebody who's from Colombia, Colombia had a bunch of political issues going on and people were rioting in the streets and all this type of shit, and they didn't want the Copa America there. So they decide to move. They say, no, it's only going to be in Argentina. Then Argentina has a whole situation with COVID and COVID cases rising, so they move it. The brainiacs in CONMEBOL decide to move it to Brazil, which, of course, at that point had the highest amount of cases of COVID in South America. You know, genius move, of course, by the powers that be. So anyway, when it gets moved to Brazil, then obviously the 2 teams that are usually invited, so they essentially want to make 2 groups of 6 so that the top 4 get through. The top 4 get through and 2 get eliminated. So you get 2 groups of 6, the top 4 go through, 2 get eliminated. That's 4 in total that get eliminated, and you are left with 8 to play the knockout stages, right? But what happens is Australia, which I believe was the first one of the ones that was going to be invited, and then Qatar, which was the other team that was going to be invited, they don't go because of the fact that COVID is running rampant in Brazil. So they don't go. So now you have 2 groups of 5. 2 groups of 5. Where all 4 teams, the top 4 teams go through and only 2 go out. So essentially, it made the group stage an absolute just easy pickings because we all knew who was going to get, who is going to lose in those 2. Unfortunately, all due respect to Bolivia, all due respect to Venezuela, but those are the 2 weakest teams in CONMEBOL. Everybody knew that those were the 2 teams that were most likely to go out. And the soccer that we saw, the football that we saw, In that tournament was absolute garbage. They all played essentially to the lowest. I mean, really, there was no like absolute blowout except for Argentina versus Bolivia. That was the team. The games were not exciting. It was sloppy football. The pitches were all essentially, the pitches all looked like garbage. There was no crowds. I think even the broadcast wasn't even that great. It was a boring ass tournament, ladies and gentlemen. It was boring as hell, and it was not good football. And that is the one time that Leo Messi wins it with Argentina. And the guy who scored the final goal in the final was not Leo Messi. It was Di Maria in the final, right? And then also the game that when they played against Colombia, it was Lautaro Martinez that scored a goal and Diaz that scored a goal. And then it goes to penalties, and of course they score their shots. But the guy who is really the star of Argentina in the game, in the semifinal game against Colombia, is of course Emiliano Martinez, Dibu Martinez, the goalkeeper of Argentina. You know, So, and then in, what was it, in the quarterfinals, yeah, they beat Ecuador 3-0. That is a legit win, of course, and Messi scores in the 93rd minute. De Paul, also another great game by De Paul. De Paul, who had a fantastic tournament as well and really played extremely well. But all the accolades go to Leo Messi. And once again, man, I don't want to hate on the guy, but I just think the whole thing is that the Copa America shouldn't have not been the deciding factor in him getting the Ballon d'Or. At this time, I think France football owed it to Lewandowski at this point, because Lewandowski had not only had an incredible 2020, which then gets canceled during the pandemic, but he also continued scoring and is continuing to do so right now in 2021. Whereas Messi has not been the same. 2020 was not his year. 2021, for the early part of it, yeah, sure, the season was good. And then has not been good at basically since he started at Ligue 1. What is the criteria? Is the criteria the calendar year, or is the criteria the season? Are we looking at the season or the calendar year? That's another thing that you know, at this point right now, it's the calendar year. So somebody can essentially, after they win the season of their league or whatever, they can go on to win something, obviously an international trophy. But then the start of their league can affect, because that's what happened with Benzema. The start of their season and the shouts that they get after the UEFA Nations League and everything is the beginning of the season for Real Madrid, and Benzema racking up goals at the beginning of the season played into the fact that so many people from Real Madrid were saying that he deserved to win the Ballon d'Or for everything that he was doing beginning of 2021. So, end of 2021, start of the 2021-22 season. Sorry if that's too confusing with all the years and dates or whatever, but it has to be, the criteria is just all skewed, because you know, and if you're going to give a striker of the year, award, then you have to give a midfielder award, you have to give a defender award, and you have to get a goalkeeper award, which we already have. Now we have two of those. We have the striker and we have the goalkeeper. So now it remains to be seen, France football, are you going to give a midfielder one and a defender one? Because I think midfielders deserve it as well, and defenders deserve it as well. You don't just make up an award in order to gloss over the fact that you were about to deny one guy the award from 2020, and the fact that he also continued to have dominance in 2021, you know, and you're just glossing it over by giving him a Striker of the Year award, which is not the same as saying you are the best in the world. He was the best of the world in 2020, and you denied him that. The best thing you could have done was either get rid of that bullshit Striker of the Year award and give two Ballon d'Ors then. If you wanted to give it to Messi for 2021, give it to Messi. And then you would retroactively say, and here we bring up Robert Lewandowski for the 2020 Ballon d'Or, which we could not have the ceremony last year because of the COVID pandemic. And now they both get their Ballon d'Or. But you come up with some shitty, shitty, terrible looking trophy that looks like a Ritz cracker, you know, and that is what you give this guy. A guy that I'm pretty sure has, you know, busted his ass his whole life to try to become one of the best in the world. And when he did earn it, you know, obviously you can't foresee the pandemic, but when he did earn it, you cancel it. But you don't have the common decency to say, okay, well, now that we're in 2021, we should retroactively, of course, award him with an award, give him an award, give him a Ballon d'Or in addition to the one that we want to give Leo Messi. And that's my whole issue with the situation. My whole issue with the situation is that, as a Madrid fan, I said once again, I don't think that Benzema deserved it. I mean, I think, yes, he's done an incredible job. He's done it over the longevity of his career. But again, what are the stats? What are the determining stats that make it, what is the criteria? There has to be a clear-cut criteria. Or it's just going to be like Johan Cruyff said, which is just, you know, a bunch of journalists, essentially giving it to their friend, essentially giving it to their friends. It is a popularity contest. And at this point, I think is losing all of its luster because at this point, I'm also tired of seeing Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi win the thing. Let's bring in some new blood. Is it going to be Vinicius next year? Is it going to be Mbappe? Is it going to be Haaland? Is it going to be somebody else? Let's get it over with already. You're still beating this tired horse, man. Messi is just like walking around the field on PSG, you know? I'm not saying he's finished, but that's him and Ronaldo are not the same players anymore. That era is finished. Let's try to stop milking that. Let's bring in some new blood. Lewandowski absolutely deserved it for me. Anyway, guys, that's my my whole thing. You know, obviously, I'm going to talk about, you know, that was a whole rant of 40 minutes on Ballon d'Or, and I was going to say, I told myself, you know what, I'm going to do like 30 minutes of it. Or I'm sorry, I was going to do 15 minutes of it, and that didn't happen. But anyway, guys, you know, talking about the Sheriff game that happened earlier, you know, here are some of the stats. I'm throwing them up on the screen here. You know, what's crazy to me, though, if we shift gears and we're moving to now Champions League, of course, the Champions League game against Sheriff, you know, we saw Real Madrid dominate 70% possession against 30% from Sheriff. The crazy thing is I remember somebody wrote this stat down. And I think it was from the Real Champs. The real champs. But anyway, they were talking about how Real Madrid were exceeding their expected goals. They were exceeding the number of expected goals. So they were getting, let's say the expected goals, like in this case, the expected goals for Real Madrid at the end of the game was 1.5. Real Madrid scored 3 goals. So essentially, they are exceeding their goal tally. I mean, sorry, they're exceeding their expected goals, which is interesting because the question was asked, is it because, so they are essentially making, what that means is they are essentially making the statistically more difficult shots. They are scoring them, you know, because of the fact that the number of, you know, the number is based on you taking the shots that you have on goal and the statistical percentage that those shots carry, you know? So, you know, maybe a shot outside the box has a statistical, a rank or, the statistics of scoring that shot are like 5%, right? So it's like 0.05, right? And then maybe like a penalty kick or something. A penalty is what? Like it wouldn't even be 50-50. I would say it's like upwards what? It's like a 0.7, 0.8, you know, it's like 80%, 75% or 80% probability of you scoring it. So anyway, that's how they're ranked in these expected goals. So essentially with 1.5 as the expected goals for Real Madrid, they exceeded it by scoring 3. They exceeded it by more. They exceeded it by half. So the idea was, I think the argument that they were making was, are they lucky or is the finishing improved? And at this point, they've been doing it so consistently so far this season that it's a combination of two things. The finishing has gotten better, obviously, by the likes, of course, of Vinicius. And then there's probably some luck involved. But what does it say? Luck always favorite. Luck is essentially when preparation meets opportunity, I believe it is. So the fact that these guys are training, they're doing well, and then the opportunities are presenting themselves, that is, in the end, what is causing them to, I think, score the harder shots, like Toni Kroos's goal against Sheriff, of course, Alaba's free kick goal against Sheriff. And then, those were the shots that were essentially scored. Even Karim Benzema's goal against Sheriff was not an easy shot. Taking it essentially from, was it outside the box or was just inside the box pretty much? But there was a bunch of defenders standing in front of him and he curls it around the defenders and into the back of the net, into the far post. That's not an easy thing to do. So these statistically difficult shots are being scored by Real Madrid. So that's pretty, I think what's happening there, and for that argument from the Real Champs, was essentially that, you know, I think, yes, our finishing has improved. And it is a combination of luck and the fact that these guys just seem better drilled, better prepared. I think now the confidence is starting to set in, especially with the likes of Vinny, especially with the likes of Toni Kroos being back in, you know, back in shape, being back in form after, you know, starting the, you know, having the season, you know, starting the season on the bench because of an injury. You know, that is what we're seeing. And we're seeing, you know, the Madrid three, once again, the midfield three, the midfield trio of Casemiro, Modric, and Kroos, gaining that confidence again, and it's reaping the rewards. I think they're meshing well, at least in this game against Sheriff, which is obviously on paper, an easier opponent, although they did beat us in El Bernabeu. So this was essentially a chance for us to get revenge, but it was also a game where we already knew now what to expect, that Sheriff was not an easy game, not an easy team. We can't just walk over them. I think we took them lightly in the game against them in the Bernabeu, and this time Real Madrid came to play, and they came and scored. Total shots of 17, 15 chances created, and, you know, it was 91% pass accuracy, which, of course, is probably due to Toni Kroos. Let's pull up Toni Kroos' stats. I had him here for the game. Toni Kroos' stats for against Sheriff, you know, of course, the accurate passes of his is 96%. Of course, always scoring those shots on target. He had two long balls. He hit 8 out of the 10 long balls, essentially. Made one interception, you know, won 2 out of 2 duels, ground duels. So, I mean, he had a solid game, as always, Toni Kroos having a solid game and being really where the attack of Real Madrid kind of emanates from. So solid game there from the team. You know, against Sheriff, we got some bangers of goals going in there, some tough shots going in, and that was an important game for us to win. And now it all remains to be seen how we are going to end up playing against, you know, how we're going to end up in the group after when we play Inter, which will also be at the Santiago Bernabeu. So we'll see how that's going to turn out. But I think I really see this team doing some positive things now. And they have the grit. I think they have the attitude right now. So, I mean, let's talk about the game with Sevilla. So the game against Sevilla, here I'm pulling up the stats here. So once again, the expected goals for Real Madrid was 0.87. We exceeded that by scoring 2 goals in the game. So another game where we are exceeding our expected goals for the game. In this case, Sevilla, you can see they had an expected goal of 1.32. They only scored 1 goal. And that goes to show that in that first half, there were a lot of chances that Sevilla had to put away the game, essentially to really maybe have beaten, maybe have gone up 2-0, even 3-0, if you believe Cristóbal Soria, who said, you know, they could have been 3 up in the first half. But really, they were dominating us in the first half. Carvajal was having an absolute dreadful game in Sevilla. I've never seen Carvajal play that badly. He misplaced, I don't know, like, I don't have the stats pulled up here, but he misplaced something like 6 passes. It was incredible. It was something, you know, and he was doing well in the offensive, playing offensively, but terrible defensively. He almost gave away. So after the Rafa Mir scores the first goal, he almost gives away another goal, essentially a terrible pass back. I don't know if he was trying to go to Militao or was trying to go to Courtois, but it gets picked off, and we are lucky that Rafa Mir did not score on that goal or that Sevilla didn't score in that chance. Then there was a couple of other chances, some that hit the post, Thibaut Courtois obviously making some saves. You know, if you look at total here, chances created, Sevilla created 9 total chances. Essentially also took 11 shots on goal. The Real Madrid was the one that had 1.3 expected goals, and we exceeded it and had 2 and ended up scoring 2. Sevilla had a 0.87 of their expected goals and ended up scoring just 1. So they did exceed it, but they were They had three big chances and they only ended up scoring one. So essentially, they threw away some big chances Sevilla did in that first half, and they could have gone up. It was a very, very, I would say it wasn't a terrible first half from Real Madrid. Offensively going forward, they looked good, but defensively they were shaky, especially Carvajal not doing there well. And then Militao, for me, that was his mistake. He was the one that lost Rafa Mir, and Rafa Mir had they're one of their top scorers, or I think their top scorer this season so far. And what they do is they leave him wide open and he ends up scoring the goal for Sevilla. So that was a defensive lapse there. And Militao was the one who kind of let his man go, but it was Militao and Carvajal. They were not playing well. And then in addition, I would say not that they were not playing well, Mendy, you know, Lucas Ocampos was giving Mendy some trouble on the right hand side. That way, and Montiel, they were giving our team definitely some trouble. Montiel and Ocampos doing pretty well there on the right flank of Sevilla, the left flank, of course, of Real Madrid. They were giving up some trouble there, and they were doing well. Ocampos was giving us some headaches there. Montiel was giving headaches there to Vinicius and was able to stifle him. Up until, of course, he scores the worldie of a winner that he scored in the second half. And that was, it's his time. I mean, that's the name of this podcast. That's the name of the podcast right now, is that this is Real Madrid's new star, essentially Real Madrid's new guy, new superstar is Vinicius. I mean, yeah, he had a quiet first half, then he starts picking things up. And the thing is now, Vinicius, even if he's having somewhat of an annoying game and people want to look back and start thinking that he's having, he's regressing back to his form from 2020. At this point, you know, I really think he's not, you know. I really think he's been, you know, from last season, he's not regressing to that at all. He's far more composed. He's far more, his finishing is, of course, a lot better. I think he's less erratic in his dribbling. He's got more of it used to be like he was a lot more improvisational. He's trying to improvise and do what he can and just make his way through and try to score a goal. But I think there's a lot more of a, there's a lot more composure, you could say, but there's a lot more decisiveness. There's a lot more of he's really putting thought into the plays he's making. I think taking into account what Ancelotti said to him, you know, try to do one, two touches and then go for it. Essentially, that's what he did in the goal that was scored, that he scored against Sevilla. And the winner, that winner that he scored, you know, he takes the ball, you know, knocks it, basically, takes the first touch with his head, hits it to the ground, then maybe one, two touches to get past the defense, and boom, takes a beautiful shot right there, curl into the top corner. No way for Bono to get it, and that's pretty much it. I mean, that was all she wrote, and he wins us what is an important game. What is an important game for us because of the fact that now we just won against Sevilla, and now there's a lot of other tough games coming up. Athletic Bilbao, then Real Sociedad, then Inter, then Atletico Madrid. So we have an incredible schedule coming up, incredibly difficult schedule coming up. But this, I think, really sets the emotion, the morale high right now for Real Madrid, especially going into a game against Athletic Bilbao, who hasn't been doing as well. But they always cause us trouble. But I think we can do well against them in the Bernabeu. It's going to be tough. The one that's really going to be tough is going to be obviously the two essentially the pack that is chasing us at this point, really, which is Real Sociedad and Atletico Madrid. Those two are going to be the most difficult games. And of course, Inter, because we have to, you know, we would like to win the group by beating them. But let's take a look at the stats really for Vinicius, I think. I don't really look so much at these. I mean, sometimes I pull them up because I think they're interesting. I'm more of an eye test guy, as they would call me. You know, I look at the game and I don't look at so much at, you know, I kind of look at what's going on the pitch. I don't care much so much for the, maybe I'm just, you know, I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy. Tell me the goals, tell me the assists, you know, tell me the shots on target, you know, the chances that the guy had. you know, McKee passes, you know, that is, that of course is important as well. But dribbles and all these kind of things, you know, that have lately become this huge thing, you know, how many dribbles, how many passes, you know, how many accurate passes. I think that, you know, those are good for like, if it's a midfielder, but, you know, it's also the Vinicius' ability to draw fouls, you know, those type of things. It's his ability to drive defenders crazy, which I think little by little, Vinicius is this guy. He's like a, what do you call that? I forgot the old saying, but basically where like the fleas can drive a dog crazy, essentially, because, you know, it's just constantly there. He's constantly there. And I think what happens right now with Vinicius that's really important to note is that, yeah, while he might not be, while he might lose possession, you know, in this case, he lost possession 15 times during the game. He might lose possession. He might lose ground duels. He might lose dribbles. You know, he made 8 dribble attempts, succeeded only 3. So he loses possession. He loses ground duels, whatever. But the thing is, he's consistently going for it. He's consistently going for it. So what it is he's always being that nuisance. And that nuisance, it's almost like, you know, going back to my fighting stuff, man, it's like, listen, thinking about Muhammad Ali and the rope-a-dope, where he kind of like just lulls you into this feeling where, you know, I feel like Montiel and maybe Ocampos were feeling like they kind of had Vinicius dominated, where they had him, you know, in their pockets, where he couldn't really get anything going. But the thing is, he's consistent, continues to do it, continues to try, continues to go for it. The guy, the kid's work rate can, you know, he's just there and he's there and he's there. He's there. He's like a gnat, you know, he's just a flea in a dog's fur that won't get out of his fur. Just keeps biting him and biting him and biting him, driving him nuts. And that's what Vinicius does. That's what he's been doing this season. He's driving them crazy so much that some of the players are getting yellow carded or you're red carded because, you know, they can't deal with him anymore. And then, you know, he's causing coaches to lose their minds and get ejected too. So Vinicius has been absolutely, I think in that case, has been phenomenal. And once again, you know, something that was brought up, I think, on football Twitter was, is Vinicius, you know, where are the Vinicius day ones, the guys that always believed in Vinicius? And I'm pretty sure a lot of you are saying that you were day ones when you are probably not at all. So you're just lying through your teeth. But no one's going to bother going through your Twitter accounts to see, you know, the times that you slandered Vinicius. Listen, I'll be honest with you. That's the whole point of having a podcast. You got to be my opinion is to have an honest opinion. I didn't expect this. You know, I didn't, not that I didn't expect it. I wanted it to happen. I wanted to see Vinicius succeed. But I was one of the doubters. I was one of the guys that was like, you know, is Vinicius ready? Should we loan him out? You know, is it time? You know, how long are we going to wait around for this potential? But that's what's important, guys. That's why it's important sometimes to realize that sometimes we don't see things, like, especially for us that were the naysayers of Vinicius. Some people saw it. Some people said, you know, give him a chance. Some people saw it and some people didn't. But one of the people that did consistently see it was Florentino. Real Madrid, the board, they just knew that he had this in him. And you know, I think the egg is on her face, you know, for those of us that doubted him. But I am happy to say that, you know, I am happy to receive the egg on my face. I am happy to shut my mouth for him to shut me up. And, you know, I am happy to see what he's doing. And I am a Vinicius fan. I am a Vinicius fan, and I think he makes the game exciting. Because he's so annoying to the defenders, he's making it exciting. It's absolutely beautiful to see. So, you know, I think we're now at a point where he's consistently getting more confidence. He's scoring goals, especially after that goal that he scored against Sevilla. I think that's only going to make him grow confidence even more to now start taking shots from outside the box when he gets an opportunity, you know. But the thing is, the maturity for him to try and take that shot now now was probably something he wouldn't have done last season, probably because out of fear, because he wasn't as confident in his finishing ability. He might have made an errant pass because he was very anxious, I think, to try and do things correctly. Didn't have, wasn't in the right headspace. And right now we're seeing a completely different Vinicius. We're seeing a guy that is, after watching the Ballon d'Or ceremony today, I'm thinking, I would love to see this changing of the guard. Like who is going to be the guy that is finally going to be the new, we had one guy, Luka Modric, that took it, stopped the dominance for one year of Cristiano Ronaldo and Leo Messi. But who's going to be the new guy? Is it going to be Vinicius next year? Is it going to be Mbappe? Is it going to be Haaland? Is it going to be somebody else? But right now, Vinicius is making a name for himself. And if he continues this way, I think he's got a shout. He's got a shout to be up there with whoever else is going to be considered, because it's still early. But man, is he playing fantastic. And man, am I enjoying watching him play football. And I know you guys are watching it. I know you guys are enjoying it too. So that's it for now, guys. That is my podcast. The majority of it was obviously me ranting about the Ballon d'Or, but I needed to say it. I needed to get it off my chest because I was just so fucking pissed about it, I really felt like Lewandowski deserved it. I'm not even a Bayern Munich fan, but I like the guy. I like Lewandowski. I like what he's doing, And to see somebody who's consistently, scoring and doing that, it's just, and when they are the rightful winner, and everyone's saying they are the rightful winner, even Leo Messi saying it. See, even him saying it today is that France football had to have come up with a better way of dealing with that situation. If you wanted to give it to Leo Messi, fine. But you should have handed one to Lewandowski as well, for the 2020 season. Not just gloss over it and then just make up some cockamamie award that we all knew that essentially really just looked bad from the get-go. The minute that thing was announced, everybody knew that they were going to give Lewandowski that award and then give the award to Leo Messi. And Lewandowski didn't deserve a Striker of the Year award. He deserved a best player in the world award for 2020. So he deserves that, and that's what I think. And to give it to Leo Messi today, if you want to say, if we're taking into account, I think what it is it looks bad because if we're taking into account 2020 and 2021, because of the fact that there was no 2020 award, then Lewandowski should have won it hands down. Hands down should have won it. And then also, if you look at the Copa America, the criteria of what we're looking at, then I still think Lewandowski had more of a shout than Leo Messi did. Because if you look at Copa America and then you compare it, and then the Copa del Rey, those two, the Copa America for the absolute, I think, the disaster class of organization or of infrastructure that tournament had this season or, last season. And then the fact that they won the Copa del Rey, which isn't even that big of a trophy, compared to the Bundesliga trophy, and then his prior year winning pretty much everything you could possibly win, and not him getting a Ballon d'Or for it, is where it makes it look like it's a robbery. And that's what I felt. He should have been the one celebrating at the end of the night. Lewandowski should have been the one celebrating, and not with some Cracker Jack award that looks like it came out of that looks like a Ritz cracker or looks like a toy out of a Cracker Jack box, which is what I'm telling you. It's a Cracker Jack award. Anyway, guys, I don't want to talk more about it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's my opinion. If you want to comment, if you want to shoot me a message or whatever, the message, you guys can shoot me and shoot emails to the team here at info@inadamas.net. You can check us out there. If you want to write for the podcast, hit us up. We're always wondering if people want to, jump in to chip in and write something for the podcast. So check it out at info@inadamas.net. And also remember to drop me a line at inadamas.net. Podcast on Twitter. You can also check us out on Facebook at Nada Más Podcast. You can check us out on Instagram at YNM Podcast. And then, of course, you can listen to us on, of course, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Amazon Music now, iHeartRadio. We're pretty much everywhere. And we are on YouTube as well. You can see my beautiful face, which is not really that beautiful if you guys are listening. I wouldn't say it's beautiful at all. But anyway, you can check it out. The video version of the podcast, you can check it out on YouTube. So go to Y Nada Más Podcast on YouTube. Subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Do yourself a favor. Hit the subscribe button. I guarantee you it's, you know, every time you guys hit the subscribe button, an angel gets its wings. So do that for me and help us out here grow the podcast. And in addition to that, guys, remember, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a comment, leave us a rating, and help us grow. And that's about it. That's all I have for you guys today. Thank you very much for listening. And a la Madrid, we got a bunch of tough games coming up, but I think we're gonna get there. We're gonna get through, especially with the likes of Vinicius and Kroos, and even Camavinga had a great game against Sevilla. So let's keep moving. Let's keep going. I think it's gonna be a great season. So let's keep on going, guys.
This has been Y Nada Más, Al Real Madrid Podcast.